Well, of all the topics that Jim and I probably be emotional on this series, but I'll try to divorce myself. I don't believe that you can take all this together and stereotype every situation says it's the same, no matter how it might have been at one time. I'm going to come down to Christmas. I do not believe Christmas is comparable to a birthday. I'll tell you why. A birthday, there's nothing religious about it. Not the intent is not there. It never has been. Might have been 5,000 years ago or so. But it's not now. But with Christmas, you've got an entirely different situation. And I would say Christmas would be fine if they leave Christ out of it. Wouldn't have any problem with it at all. Not even into some of the connotations in the past. But when they take and blaspheme, as it were, to make millions and billions of dollars in the name of Christ, I have a place where I think we've got to start looking at each situation with its own merit. And much of what you say has got a lot of credibility. But who in the world ever thinks about New Year's ever being connected to anything? It's not for that reason. The motivation is not there. But you cannot say that the world and whom we're trying to influence do not connect Christ to Christmas. We may not. So we have to be very discreet and careful about it, that we don't give the wrong implication about Christ and what Christ is all about. He's a glorious. The church is a glorious institution. And if they quit this lying about Santa Claus and that deception, and you using the name of Christ to make millions and billions and trillions of dollars and take Christ completely out of it, then I'd say maybe you could lump it all together. But when you look at it and evaluate, there's where I think you have to look at what the intent is for that holiday and for that situation. Now what, how do you look at that?
Well, you know, I've expressed how I feel about it. Paul observed religious rites after he became a Christian, but that he didn't demand them of others, and he also did not do them as a part of his Christianity. And this was true of circumcision, of course.
And what about where they use Christ the way they use it?
Well, if it's religious, it's religious, Jack.
Yeah, but I mean, they take Christ and make millions and billions and trillions of dollars over the misuse of Christ. You can't say that about any of these other situations.
Well, you can, too.
Well, I don't know how.
Valentine's, the world uses that. But it's a religious holiday. They even make billions of them.
But the thing is, they represent that as Christ's birthday. They were connected Christ to just the problem. As far as I know, these others, they're not. I didn't know it ever had anything paganistic about it. But anyway, I've established that point. And I understand where you're coming from and the problems that have to do with it. But I just want to state this.
Appreciate
and,
that.
And I'm not so much.
Bill Davis and then Alan Bond.
Joe, myself, I could never understand how if somebody used an egg 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, how that has any religiously how it affects me today. And the same thing's true with all of these. But, you know, there in Romans, the 14th chapter, they were having differences over holidays. And the way they were able to keep from having trouble over it and having disputes over it, dividing over it, was that Paul emphasized that they accept one another in spite of those things. And if like you say, we have these nasty attitudes about it, as has been expressed in some situations in the past, and then we will divide over it. But we're going to have to emphasize the accepting of one another in spite of how we feel about them, as you've done in your talk.
Alan Bonifay, Richard Bunner.
I'm glad I turned this down, Joe. You've done a great job. I really appreciate what you said. Two or three things I wanted to try to say in support. I think on Romans 14, that we're making a mistake when we equate weak in the faith with weak Christian or poor Christian or bad Christian or about to leave the faith or some idea like that, and strong in the faith, meaning good Christian, and so on. In the verses you read in verse 22 and 23, he said, "Hast thou faith, have it to thyself. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing that he alloweth." And then he said, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat, for he eateth not of faith." The faith, the way faith is being used in that chapter is talking about your personal belief that what you're doing is right or wrong. It's not talking about your faith in Christ. And those who are weak in faith in this chapter, it seems to me, are those who are unnecessarily scrupulous about some of these things, like eating meat or observing days. And those who are strong in faith are those who understand their liberty in this matter. Now, as you pointed out, and rightly so, one is not to offend the other. A person may have an unnecessarily strict conscience and go to heaven by observing his conscience. He may understand his liberty, on the other hand, and go to heaven by not insisting or demanding that his liberty overthrow the brother with the weak conscience. And I think that will help us to get Romans 14 in perspective, because after you've said all you've said, then people say, "Well, I guess, you know, but they're really not very good Christians if they do those things. They're weak in the faith." And I don't think that's what he's saying at all. Secondly, in verse 5, when Paul said about the observance of days, first of all, let me preface this. I don't think you can show that everybody that Paul's writing to in Romans is a Jewish Christian in Rome. In fact, I don't even think the majority are. I think the church is predominantly Gentile, but whether it is or not, there are Gentiles there. I don't think you can show that these days are only the Jewish holidays. But even if you could, I don't think it changes the point. Now, what I was going to say is, Paul cannot say, "Let every man be persuaded in his own mind, if it's a sin for him to persuade his mind that he can observe that day." Now, Paul said he can be persuaded in his own mind. Then somebody says, "How do you reconcile that with Galatians 4, 9 and 10, which says, 'I'm afraid of you because you observe days'?" Actually, it says it in reverse order, but he says you observe days, then he says, "I'm afraid of you lest I have labored in vain." I think those two must be reconciled. And to bring any sort of a holiday or worship situation into the Lord's church and work in worship of the church is sinful. And that's what they were trying to do. And that's why Paul was afraid of them. However, in Romans 14, he allows the individual to be persuaded in his own mind and tells both the weak in the faith and the strong in the faith not to overthrow the conscience of either one. Anyway, I appreciate what you said.
Galatians 4 is talking about the same thing that happened between him and Paul when he was sending the two young preachers out. You know, one he had circumcised because it was just something to he could have more influence. The other he said no, and it's because they were demanding that circumcision be based upon Christian law. That's the same thing in Galatians 4. They were observing these as matters of law, new moons and Sabbaths and so on. And so these were they were liberties, but they were trying to make them Christian law, and Paul wouldn't have
Richard Bonner, and then James Harris.
Joe, I enjoyed your talk very much. I would like to say one thing that, you know, we talk about these days, and a New Year's meeting is a whole lot different than a church having a Halloween party.
They're going on all over the nation.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, worship to God is always appropriate as long as it's done in spirit and in truth. I don't care what day it is, you know, if Christians gather together for worship, I think that's good. But I don't believe the church, as a corporate body, as a congregation, should involve itself in holidays. I think that it's wrong to put a Christmas tree up in the meeting house. I think it's wrong to have an Easter egg hunt out on the grounds. The reason I believe it's wrong is because that there are Christians that feel that it's wrong. Besides, none of that is according to faith. We're not commanded to do that. And so what we tolerate out of individual Christians, out of our brothers and sisters in Christ, is one thing. But what we do as the body of Christ is quite a different thing. And I think we send the wrong message to the world if the Church of Christ is having an Easter egg hunt, or if the Church of Christ is having a Halloween party, or if the Church of Christ is going to have a Christmas program. We become sectarian and denominational and all of the trappings that go with it. I think that there must be a difference between what we tolerate among our brothers and sisters and what we're going to do as a corporate body.
Well, thank you for saying that. I didn't mean to imply any other thing, Richard. I certainly agree with that. I'm concerned more about Halloween. You would say, well, you're contradicting yourself, and I don't intend to, because I do think the backgrounds are the same. But what I'm concerned about with Halloween is what the world has done with it. You go, and I'm not talking just about children or preschool. You go anywhere. You go to a bank, everybody is dressed up. You go to offices on the college campus where I teach and where some of the others do. It's just crazy. People are dressing in all of the Halloween garb and so on. And then we have the advent of Satanism. And the fact that Satanists are using Halloween today, this is not history. They're using Halloween today as their day to offer sacrifices. Many of them offer human sacrifices on Halloween. And I'm having an emotional problem right there because of what's happening in our own day. I don't understand it.
Vance Harris, and then Glenn Osprey.
1 Corinthians 8:9-13. Paul says, wherefore meet make my brother to offend, I weep no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. The question about Paul's situation, and I'll bring it down to today. Paul said he wouldn't eat meat so long as the world stands if it caused the brother to offend. Would he supposedly eat meat if he wasn't in the presence of that brother and not causing to offend?
I think so.
I think so too. Now, suppose I send my wife flowers for Valentine's Day, and my brother's offended by that. If I send her flowers on Valentine's Day and he knows nothing about it, I see no offense at all.
Right.
Yeah. In regards to leaders' meetings, and this is not in your subject at all, I would like to see New Year's meetings reduced down where a local congregation can have a New Year's meeting if they want to. They can't now because everybody goes to the big New Year's meeting.
Glenn, and then Bob Johnson, and then Hans. They're all right here grouped together.
My question, Joe, has more to do with Christian influence in foreign fields and outside of what we might know of as American culture. You know, as you said concerning the history of Christmas, which I've also studied, a lot of the unique practices that we identify with it really started here, believe it or not, from German immigrants. But if we as evangelists go to a foreign country which does not recognize or doesn't have a similar winter festival or, you know, Saturnalia or whatever, and we begin some of these practices and identify them by the name Christmas, they're going to say that this is a Christian, some type of Christian connotation. And our entire plea, and this is where I come from with consistency, is that we'd only do things that connected with the name of Christ in a biblical way only, no more, no less. And to me, that's something vastly different than having a calendar in my kitchen. You know, whenever I say Sunday or Monday, I don't think anyone in our culture, or I've never met one, that believes that I'm a paganist or have some pagan connotation with that, even here or in a foreign country. But whenever I practice or identify a unique custom as a Christian custom, then I believe we need to be able to give Bible answers for why we do or don't do what we do. Now, I recognize consistency whenever it comes to those other things, but I'm just saying I don't see any parallel between calendar naming and naming of days and some of the vast history back then in this culture and going to other cultures as I do taking some unique customs with us as evangelists to foreign lands. I believe we might lose our credibility.
Well, I don't see any reason why any preacher would take any of these customs with him to a foreign land. You know, I would certainly hope that no one would go and teach these customs in any way in a foreign land. There's no reason to. My point about the calendar was only for a parallel. I'm not saying we're pagans because we have calendars. I'm saying that we use that as an argument against Christmas. And I don't think it's valid. That's my only point in saying that.
I might also just add one more thing. Recognizing that there are many cults in our midst, and I do identify most of the ones who object to the practice of these days as being cults, like Jehovah's Witness and others, we definitely lose our credibility with them by saying we only do Bible things, you know, Bible ways, and have only do only those things that are authorized by the Bible, and they question us on the big four, so to speak.
Oh, they question you on birthdays more than any other, so or as much as any other, so you lose your credibility with them there, too.
Well, I don't usually. I hope not.
They strongly oppose birthdays.
Well, I recognize some of them do. I've talked to several Jehovah's Witnesses who have discussed that issue. But to them, showing them that the Bible, you know, authority for whatever practice we observe in the name of Christ would be a key phrase there that I would have. And you're right, Halloween is becoming something that not even the Protestant world is beginning to object to, and I think we as Christians need to recognize that this is something that also affects our life.
Bob Johnson, Hans, and then Brother Gaynor and Oscar.
Joe, you mentioned about inconsistencies, and I can see where you're coming from. The thought that comes to my mind about Christmas is we know it's of Catholic origin, and we as a brotherhood oppose the doctrines of the Catholic Church. Now, I don't know if you really know this or not, but I was brought up in the Catholic Church during my childhood years, and only thing I ever learned was the Book of Catechism, because I never did instruct us in the Bible or give us the Bible to study. I never had a priest or a nun ever encouraged me to read the Scriptures and learn the Word of God. They just handed me a little Book of Catechism and told me what I need to pray. Then I realized what Jesus meant when he said, use not vain repetition, because I would take my rosary beads and say the same prayers over and over. So in other words, what I'm saying is I was kept in ignorance those years until I became older and met preachers of the Church of Christ and began to read and investigate and learn the Scriptures. Now the point I want to make is this, something you consider, getting back to inconsistencies. As a brotherhood, we strongly oppose Catholic doctrine. There's no doubt in our minds that Christmas is Catholic doctrine. And so I see in that, if we participate in that, inconsistencies in our heart. Something.
Hans and Brother David.
First of all, Joe, you did an outstanding job, and there's some days there that I didn't take into consideration that I really going to have to study on. I'm wondering if it's possible that we might be missing a major point. You had mentioned that it falls in two realms, either liberty or we need to give it up. In looking in the concordance under heathenism, and heathens, there's well over 100 references, and they're all negative. God has never favored the heathens and the pagans. He's used them to straighten out his people before. But I think all those things that pertain, whatever they might be, that deal with paganism, heathens, God talks about abomination, wickedness, all these words that are associated with them. There's nothing positive of it. And maybe you're right. Maybe we really need to give it up, because God has looked at the negative towards all those that were His and all their practices. Comment.
Joe, could there be a difference? I'll just be honest with you. I disagree on several of your points, but I still respect you, of course. But isn't there a difference between, say, for example, me being invited to a pagan's home, and then he tell me that the meat is offered up to an idol? I could go ahead and eat it, you know, as a Christian. Wouldn't violate my conscience. Wouldn't there be a difference in that, though, in me saying, now, you bring your meat that you're going to offer to an idol, you bring it over to my house. Let's have a feast. Or I invite that, you see. Now, this situation of whether or not to eat the meat was a circumstance in which the Christian had, we might say, something come up that was not voluntary on his part. But he was still permitted to partake if he partook of it with a clear conscience in the right way. But if I voluntarily bring those things into my home, like meats and so forth, which are being offered to idols, wouldn't that make a difference?
I guess I'm not sure the point you're trying to make.
Christmas, bringing that practice. Christmas, bringing the practice into my home voluntarily, which the Catholic Church, I'm simply doing what the Catholic Church has ordained, and I voluntarily bring that into my home. There might be other ways that I would be influenced or might find myself in a circumstance of participation out of my home, but I voluntarily bring that practice into my home. To me, that would make a difference.
Well, I think it would depend on the circumstance, you know. If you're having people there you're going to offend by, so I think, you know, I've said what I believe. You have a right to do that if you want to. I'm not saying I would, but I just can't see that it violates the law, you know, because I believe it's a liberty.
We're about out of time. I'm sorry I can't take any more names. We've got four more names on the list. If we could, let's make it brief. It's Jimmy Smith, Rhino Wade, and Raymond Fox.
Joe, I don't really feel like maybe you observe or define the word observe, because you said, you know, some of us observe it some way, and Christmas, like giving gifts or what have you. Yet I think you would probably be intolerant of somebody who taught it, observed it, and taught Santa Claus as a reality, the full route, and dressing. So we're really getting back to what we do condemn, you know, there some. We would be, it seems. Now, back to what your brother said earlier. Could we observe it in our own Christian lives as such in practice? Could we do it at that same level in the congregation? You know, it seems to me then we get it in a different perspective. Because this church is putting up Christmas, not in our brotherhood, but, quote, Church of Christ in our area, put up the Christmas trees and a whole route, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I fail to believe that paganism, Christian, came from paganism as a derogative. How could you be derogative towards somebody they consider a compliment? I never could figure somebody give me a
compliment. It wasn't considered a compliment. Then was a distinctive term, separating them as followers of Christ or not followers of Christ. Now, that's what we said. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, they considered it a compliment. The Christians did, from all scholars, all that I've read. But now, if paganism, if Christmas doesn't have the connotation of paganism today, it certainly has the Catholic religious connotation. It's there. Paganism may not be, the Catholic religious connotation is there. Now,
if this is a parallel to the Jewish feast that Paul and them partook of, I would ask, what was he condemning in Galatians 4, 10, and 11? What days was he condemning in that, in those?
He was condemning making them a law for a fulfillment of the law of Christ.
Observance of it. He condemned the observance of it, it seems to me.
Well, my understanding is it was the requirement of the observance of it by others. So maybe we need to look at that
right away.
Joe, I'm not sure I understood you correctly, but I think you said that the name Christian originated with the pagans, but that you didn't deny the fact that it was a divinely given name.
Right.
Okay, now I guess my question is this. Did God use the pagans to give the world his divinely given name?
According to Wiest, yes.
I think Wiest is all wet. He's wet on a lot of things, but I don't believe the name Christian came through the rally of pagans. I believe that was a divinely given name, divinely revealed name of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not denying we says that, but it seems to me that's a pretty questionable road to say that here is a divinely given name and God let the pagans introduce it in derision of his people. I met that years ago. I can't think of his name now. He lived in Alabama, but he fought everything everybody did almost. But he took the position that the name Christian really didn't even have to be used. That it really was not a scriptural connotation at all, you know. And he said that it basically was given to the followers of God in derision and caught on. And thereby everybody started calling them Christians. And it really was not a glorified or a God-given name. And I really think, Luce is really right when he says that. Great question. Or Wiest, I mean. I grew up with Luce, I guess it's Wiest. I don't know. Luce Smith.
All right, just hand it over. We'll let Smith replace Raymond here.
Just a comment on what Ronnie said. I agree with what Ronnie said. In the context there, it's talking about Paul and Barnabas teaching the assembly, and it says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The word there is not the usual Greek word kaleo, to call someone something, but it's chromatizo. And I'm just reading from the lexicon at the back of this work here, and you can satisfy yourselves when you get home. But chromatizo means to utter an oracle, to give a divine warning. It's used of God warning the wise men to return by another route in Luke 2 and 26, and in Hebrews 12 and 25, and it's used in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, Noah being warned of God. The verb is chromatizo. And it's used several other places, all with the sense, and I'm reading from the lexicon here, to receive a divine response, be warned of God, to utter an oracle, to give a divine warning. And it cites under secondary definition, to receive a name, to be called. Acts 11, 26, and Romans 7 and verse 3. Romans 7 and verse 3 says she should be called an adulteress. Well, what calls her an adulteress? The law of Moses called her an adulteress. Acts 11 and 26, in the context there, consistent with the other usages of the word in the New Testament, my conclusion is they were called Christians by an oracle from God. The context there is Paul and Barnabas instructing the assembly, and given the fact that it was a fulfillment of prophecy, you know, I had purposed in my own mind to talk with you about this later, but since it's come up in the discussion question, you know, it's kind of a tangent from your main subject, but I just wanted to add that Wiest is wrong, however you want to pronounce his name, but that is a typical response of denominationalism, kind of preparatory to defending their use of denominational names. So I just add that for what it's worth.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I don't really have anything new to say in closing, except to repeat what I've already said, that I'm not trying to lead us down any Primrose Path. I am trying to get us to examine, to be stimulated, to look carefully at what we practice and what we try to get others to practice, and to be sure that we're not condemning where we shouldn't be, and that whatever we do, it needs to be with concern for the souls of others and not to lead anyone astray. So, you know, I'm not going home and do all these things. But I want us to think about it carefully and to study it. And I really appreciate the point that Ronnie and Smith have made about this. That probably bears looking into further. Thank you.